Cette émission est une production originale de Radio H2O.ca.
Ensemble, nous sommes la force.
En ce moment même, la voix a des millions de gens à travers le monde. Des millions d'hommes, de femmes et d'enfants.
Tu sais que le monde ne tourne pas rond sans comprendre pourquoi, mais tu le sais. C'est ce sentiment qui t'a amené jusqu'à moi. Sais-tu exactement de quoi je parle?
Actualité. Locale. Internationale. Spiritualité. Opinion. Débat.
Le H2O Show avec Franco Huard commence maintenant.
Et bienvenue à cette édition spéciale du H2O Show pour notre revue du Comic-Con 2013 à Montréal. Et pour ceux et celles qui ne le savaient pas, l'événement a lieu en fait du 13 au 15 septembre dernier au Palais des Congrès de Montréal. Donc tout simplement au centre-ville, c'est très simple, on peut aller au métro Place d'Armes, bing bang bing, c'était déjà fait, aucun problème de stationnement. Écoutez, c'était notre première année comme média à l'événement. Et disons que on a eu la chance de rencontrer, enfin on ne nous a pas rencontré une par une bien entendu, mais on a quand même vu plus de 42 000 personnes qui se sont présentées. Selon les organisateurs du site, ça a été une augmentation de plus de 10 000 personnes comparément à l'année dernière. Disons, si on dit 10 000 personnes de plus, on dit également des invités de qualité. Écoutez, la liste est quand même assez incroyable. Là, j'en passe, hein, je vous le dis. Si vous allez sur le site web du Comic-Con Montréal, vous allez voir qu'il y a au-dessus de 6 pages d'invités. Mais dans ceux qu'on peut vraiment nommer, qui m'ont vraiment touché, qui m'ont marqué de cette fin de semaine, ça a été Christopher Lloyd, donc le Doc Brown, Emmett Brown dans Back to the Future, David Logan qui est le jeune Boba Fett dans la série Star Wars, qui a également participé à la série des Clone Wars, donc la série en version cartoon qui passe présentement à Télétoon justement. On a vu aussi David Prowse qui a été l'homme dans le costume de Darth Vader, donc qui n'a pas été la voix, mais qui a été la personne qui a porté le costume durant toute cette saga. On a eu aussi tout le cast complet de Battlestar Galactica. C'était quand même assez incroyable, je vous dis, des speeches qu'on a eus durant la fin de semaine. On va passer ça dans les segments, pas d'entrevue, mais c'est des segments d'entretien avec le public qu'on va vous faire jouer. François Pérus qui a été présent le samedi pour signer les autographes. George Takei, donc Iraku Sulu, hein, pour ceux et celles qui se souviennent très dernièrement de la série Star Trek. Gillian Anderson dans les X-Files qui était là. Ray Park, mesdames et messieurs, a été mon coup de cœur de la fin de semaine. Cet homme, un homme de grand cœur, je vous le dis, c'était incroyable de le voir aller. Un homme du public, c'était incroyable de le voir aller, sérieusement. Même son attaché qui était avec lui, on l'a jasé un peu durant le temps de l'entrevue, et il me racontait justement qu'à chaque fois que Ray Park quittait son bureau de signature, parce que durant la fin de semaine, un peu le concept, comment ça fonctionnait, c'est que les vedettes avaient chacun un bureau où que les gens pouvaient venir les voir et signer des autographes, et de temps en temps, donc, ils se déplaçaient d'une salle à l'autre pour faire soit des photos, soit faire des conférences d'une heure avec le public. Sinon, ça pouvait aussi des pauses personnelles. Donc, à chaque fois que lui décidait de sortir de son bureau, tout simplement, les gens l'approchaient, les gens venaient le voir, et habituellement, bon, les autres vedettes, on a des bantures qui tassent tout le monde, disant donc, tassez-vous, la vedette a besoin de passer, mais Ray Park, c'était pas comme ça. Ray Park, lui, décidait de parler avec les gens. Donc, je vous le dis, il arrêtait pas de parler, c'était incroyable. Et je vais vous donner un exemple comment cette personne était dédiée à son public à tous les jours que moi j'allais le voir. En fait, j'allais voir l'îlot des invités. Donc à tous les jours que la session se terminait, donc la fin de la journée, lui était toujours là en train de signer des autographes, parler aux gens. Il restait tellement là longtemps que l'administration décidait d'essayer de fermer les lumières et les rallumer juste pour dire aux gens partez, mais lui était encore là, il arrêtait pas. C'est un homme incroyable, je vous le dis, c'est une entrevue à ne pas manquer. Et d'ailleurs, parlant d'entrevue, notre liste d'entrevue était quand même assez incroyable. On a eu Nicole Deboer, donc celle qui a participé dans la série Star Trek DS9. Elle a fait Israel Dax. On a eu Kevin Nash, donc une WWE superstar. David Logan, encore une fois. Boba Fett. Jason David Frank. Le Green Ranger, je sais pas si vous vous souvenez, moi, quand j'étais jeune, là, j'avais de la misère à l'avouer aux gens, OK? Même si l'émission, en tant que telle, était pour des plus jeunes, je continuais quand même à l'écouter. Pourquoi? Parce que Jason David Frank, quand je le regardais aller, là, ses arts martiaux, tout ça, moi, ça m'inspirait. J'ai été extrêmement heureux d'avoir la chance de lui parler. On a aussi rencontré Rémi Couture, que d'ailleurs, ce sera notre premier segment pour l'émission. Donc, Rémi Couture, tout le monde se souvient de lui. De la situation de l'année dernière, qui a été acquitté en décembre 2012 sur des accusations que son site web et ses vidéos qu'il faisait étaient supposément des vraies scènes de crime, qu'en réalité, c'était tout simplement du make-up, des effets spéciaux qu'il voulait présenter pour des producteurs de films. Donc, la prochaine entrevue qu'on vous présente dès maintenant, c'est avec Rémi Couture. Deux adresses de site web, supportremi.com et artcrimefilms.com. Alors, ça débute maintenant.
Ben donc, on est avec Rémi Couture hein, sur les ondes de Radio H2O. Donc, salut Rémi, comment ça va?
Ça va bien.
Très
bien.
Ouais, parfait. Donc, toi, présentement, au Comic-Con, dans ton boot, parle-nous un peu de ton art, parce que moi, pour moi, c'est de l'art. Il y a certaines personnes qui disent que c'est pas de l'art, mais je pense qu'ils comprennent tout simplement pas le sens. Parle-nous un peu de ton art, de qu'est-ce que tu fais.
Bon, ben, je suis maquilleur effets spéciaux. Je me spécialise dans l'horreur. Puis bon, mes projets personnels, je m'en vais plus explorer plus des sphères, peut-être un peu plus underground. Donc, okay, tu sais, je vais peut-être moins dans l'horreur conventionnelle. Je vais approcher peut-être des sujets beaucoup plus tabous. Donc, c'est ce qui me valut aussi des accusations, etc. Parce que justement, j'allais exploiter une forme d'horreur qui est encore un peu controversée aujourd'hui. Donc, sauf que je me situe dans une branche qui est quand même un marché. Si on parle, mettons, des films comme Guinea Pig ou Aftermath, des films un peu plus, justement, beaucoup plus crus. Donc, tu t'en vas pas voir ces films-là avec du popcorn.
Mais depuis, justement, qu'est-ce qui s'est passé, là, je pense que c'est l'année dernière ou l'année
précédente?
Décembre passé, c'est ça? Donc, depuis ce temps-là, est-ce que, justement, ça t'a fait quand même une couverture assez grande? Donc, tu as sûrement eu d'autres opportunités qui se sont présentées à toi?
Ouais, là, c'est sûr que j'ai beaucoup plus de contrats qu'avant. Donc, tu sais, oui, dans chaque chose, il y a tout le temps du positif et du négatif. Bon, je crois que le négatif maintenant est derrière, puis là, je peux me concentrer sur les retombées positives parce que, bon, j'en ai bavé pendant 3 ans. Puis aujourd'hui, bon, j'ai été acquitté le 22 décembre, puis ce qui est une bonne chose parce que l'année passée, j'étais au Comic-Con, sauf que je vivais, j'avais un stress sur mes épaules, sauf que là, aujourd'hui, je suis libéré. Mais non, c'est ça, c'est aujourd'hui comme tout va super bien, 2013, c'est parti du bon pied. Fait que c'est le côté négatif, bon ben ça a été aussi monétaire, parce que si on enlève le côté stress, etc., etc., sur le plan personnel,
ouais.
Mike Ward a fait un show bénéfice, ouais. J'ai réussi à tout rembourser mes frais d'avocat, ce qui est une très bonne chose, parce que j'en ai eu pour 35 000, c'est quand même une année de salaire. C'est pour ça, aujourd'hui, j'ai le grand sourire.
Mais tu vois, je pense que la personne qui t'avait envoyé en cours, c'était pas une personne du Québec en plus.
Ben, attends, au départ, c'est parti de l'Allemagne puis de l'Autriche. C'est des internautes qui sont tombés sur mon site, ouais, qui croyaient que c'était vrai. Interpol était mêlé à l'affaire. Ensuite, Interpol, contact Interpol Ottawa, Interpol en Europe. Ensuite, eux, ils ont contacté la GRC. Ensuite, l'SPVM. Il y a beaucoup de gens qui ont travaillé sur mon dossier.
Ben, c'est ça, mais ce que je veux dire, c'est que ça vient de l'extérieur. Les gens ici comprenaient, je pense, j'ai l'impression, parce que moi, partout où je parlais, qui j'ai rencontré, tout le monde m'a parlé de ça, tout le monde était d'accord avec ça, tout le monde ne leur dérangeait pas, tout le monde t'appuyait, puis même la preuve, même Mike Ward fait un spectacle, il a réussi à réunir ça. Je trouve ça quand même assez incroyable que ce soit des gens de l'extérieur qui soient offusqués. Bon, mais tant mieux s'ils sont offusqués.
Mais les procureurs, il faut comprendre, c'est que les procureurs de la Couronne qui ont déposé des accusations, ils ont mis un an avant de déposer des accusations. Mm. Fait que pendant un an, ils ne savaient pas s'ils allaient le faire ou non. Puis j'imagine qu'après s'être rencontrés peut-être à multiples reprises, ils ont convenu que oui, il y avait matière à porter accusation, en sachant très bien que ça en allait dans une zone très grise, parce que c'était jamais vu au Canada. C'est un premier cas, donc on se lance dans une cause qui n'a pas d'antécédent, donc de précédent.
Oui.
Alors, ils ont pris une chance, mais en même temps, ils ont pris une grosse chance. Eux, ils sont allés chercher des psychiatres de Los Angeles, psychologues de Toronto, parler contre moi. Moi, j'étais obligé d'aller engager un criminologue, un professeur en cinéma. Donc, c'était une grosse bataille devant le jury. Le jury a conclu que ce que je fais n'est pas criminel, contrairement à eux, ce qui avançait. Puis en même temps, tant mieux. Je crois que ça a peut-être donné une bonne leçon. Puis aujourd'hui, on peut dire qu'un précédent. Donc, j'imagine que dans 5 ans, s'il y en a un autre qui fait de quoi de flyer, puis il arrive avec la même accusation, ils vont pouvoir dire hey, attendez un peu, le 5 ouais. ans, on l'a perdu, puis on a eu l'air épais, tu sais.
Mais là, je vois, t'as un DVD.
C'est le DVD de Hors Crime, qui est le documentaire qui a été fait avant le procès. Donc, on explique vraiment. On me voit en train de travailler, j'explique c'est à quoi Inner Depravity. On fait témoigner des modèles qui ont participé, de Patrick Sénécal qui vient parler en ma faveur, Mario Dumont, Robert Morin, donc beaucoup de gens qui. On décortique, on explique un peu l'accusation, elle vient de où, comment c'est parti. En même temps, on montre aussi le ridicule, on montre que sur le web, finalement, on tape et on peut trouver des vrais crimes, là, des vraies exécutions.
Ouais. Juste Magnota, j'ai l'exemple, ça c'était vrai.
C'est ça, exactement. Puis lui, pourtant, il tuait des chats au début, puis il mettait ça sur le web, puis la police. Puis moi, la police sont venus en se disant hey, faut le checker, lui, peut-être. Mais tu sais, il y a eu. Je crois que tout le monde, autant du côté judiciaire que de la police, je crois que tout le monde s'est planté un clou dans le pied là, de A à Z. Ils se croisaient les doigts. Les psychiatres qui ont fait venir, c'est des psychiatres qui ne font que témoigner dans des procès d'obscénité à travers le monde.
Okay.
Ils gagnent tout le temps, tout. Fait qu'ils sont allés chercher de big one au state. Puis eux autres, ils arrivent, ils sont sûrs d'eux autres. C'est à peu près 70 procès qui vont témoigner. Puis ils gagnent tout le temps. Fait qu'ils sont allés chercher la crème pour mettre toutes les chances de leur côté. Puis je leur ai botté le cul parce qu'ils ont vu qu'au Québec, peut-être le même procès s'était passé en Saskatchewan. Peut-être pas ça leur est tourné de la même façon. Au Québec, on est un peuple qui est quand même ouvert. On est quand même... la communauté artistique ici, elle se tient beaucoup. Il y a beaucoup de talent ici, autant dans le cinéma, jeux vidéo, dans les écrivains. Donc, je crois que c'est une bonne chance que j'habite au Québec. Que le procès...
C'est juste la preuve qu'on se tient tous quand même entre nous autres. Puis écoute, bravo, moi, sérieusement, là, t'as tenu ton bout, ça a fonctionné. Puis c'est ça qui est l'important. Rapidement, avant qu'on se laisse, avant qu'on termine l'interview, puis je sais que t'as quand même d'autres choses là, sur ton plancher, où qu'on peut rejoindre, où qu'on peut acheter ce DVD-là si on n'est pas au Comic-Con?
Tu peux aller sur le site horscrimefilm.com.
Okay.
Sinon, juste à taper hors/crime, vous allez avoir toutes les informations.
Parfait. Ça, c'est pas juste ton site web, t'as aussi ton site web principal, je crois, celle que t'avais...
Mimifix.com, innerdepravity.com, qui était le site en question.
Ouais.
Là, il est redirigé vers supportrémy.com, un site qu'on avait ouvert pour expliquer toute la cause, obtenir les gens à update. Mais là, on va remettre Inner Depravity en ligne, mais sous une autre forme, plus un site biographique, parce que je vais expliquer comment j'ai commencé, mes premières sessions de photos, beaucoup de making-of, fait qu'il y aura peut-être pas la même... je crois que ça va être beaucoup plus biographique. On va expliquer le procès, comment c'est fini, ça finit. Puis ça va être un site très intéressant. Les gens vont pouvoir avoir une bonne idée de comment tout ça a commencé, comment ça finit aussi.
Parfait. Bien, merci beaucoup, Rémi. Ça fait un grand plaisir.
Merci.
À la prochaine.
Radio H2O.
Your Jedi mind tricks do not work on me.
Ensemble, nous sommes la force.
Honey, money. No butts, no money, no dude.
Hey, my name is Ray Park. I play Darth Maul in The Phantom Menace and Snake Eyes in G.I. Joe Retaliation. You're listening to H2O Radio. May the force be with you and beware of the dark side.
Tu voudrais rejoindre l'animateur en ondes? Un seul numéro.
1-855-553-3367.
Partout au Canada et aux États-Unis.
1-855-553-3367.
On vous attend!
Now the shit's about to kick off, this party looks whack. Let's take it back to straight hip-hop and start it from scratch. I'm about to bloody this jack up, everybody get back. That's why my pen needs a pad, cause my rhyme's on a red tag. It's like I did with a Dixon, I'm about to freak it. Like a magician, critics I turn to freak it. Got them still on the fence, whether to peek it. But quick to get impaled when I tell them peek it. So sick from looking pale, well that's my peek it. About to go ahead, now bitch, shout out to peek it. Let's bring it back to that vintage Slim bitch. The order in the CN mixed with the Vinci and
so we knock it down. So turn the volume loud. Cause it's been to the head, yeah. So baby, make just like cake. Better let yourself out. Let yourself go. Say fuck it before we kick the bucket. Life's too short to not go. Just the way that I'm dressed, ain't it? Khakis pressed, Nike shoes, crispy and fresh lace. So I guess it ain't that aftershave of cologne that made him just faint. Plus I showed up with a coat fresher than wet paint. So if love is a chess game, checkmate. But girl, your body's banging, jump me in. Bang, bang, bang. Yes, sir, Bob, I was thinking the same thing. So come get on this kick rock, bob with the bob. Dang, dang, pow, 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 pow. Chicka, pow, chicka, wow, wow. Got your girl blowing up a pow, 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 pow. And slow it down, throwing the town to the town, town. Throw it down, I don't know how, how, how. At least I know that I don't know. Question is, are you both so smart enough to feel stupid? Hope so, now ho.
Kick shoes off, let your head out.
All night long.
Pull your beard out, just weird out.
Until we knock it down, so turn the volume loud. Cause it's been to the head, yeah. So break the pace up like crazy. Let yourself go, let yourself go. Say fuck it before we kick the bucket. Life's too short to not go.
Love is powerful, this cough syrup and styrofoam. All I know is I fell asleep
and woke up in that Monte Carlo
with the ugly Kardashian
Lamar. Oh, sorry, yo, we done both set the bar low. Bars hard, drugs hard, though that's the past. But I done get enough codeine and not future in it tomorrow. And girl, I ain't got no money to borrow, but I am trying to find a way to get you alone.
Gordo! Oh! Marshall Mathers,
get out of the body now.
Get the bar so blathered. Kangos and call heartless cargos. Now you're fixing to get your heart broke.
Don't be absurd, ma'am, you bird brain baby. I ain't called anybody baby since Birdman.
Unless you're a swallow.
Word, Rick, word, man, you heard. But don't be discouraged, girl, this is
your jam.
Unless you got told you.
Kick shoes off, let your head out.
All night long.
Pull your beard out, just beard out.
All night long. We're gonna rock this house until we knock it down. So turn the volume loud. Cause it's been to the head. Just like cake, better let yourself go. Let yourself go. Say fuck it before we kick the bucket. Life's too short to not go. We're gonna rock this house until we knock it down. So turn the volume loud. Cause it's been to the head, yeah. So crank the bass up like crazy. And let yourself go. Let yourself go. Say fuck it before we kick the bucket. Life's too short to not go.
Radio H2O.
Bienvenue en direct de la planète Web. Une nouvelle révolution est à notre porte. La radio conventionnelle vous emmerde? Vous avez soif de vraies nouvelles, soif de liberté d'expression.
La puissance de la voix. Liberté d'expression.
Free man you are. What will you do without freedom?
La meilleure radio parlée sur le web. Radio H2O.ca. Ensemble, nous sommes la force.
Imaginez la vie sans radio.
Le monde de la radio et de la télévision vous interpelle. Apprenez avec des professionnels toutes les facettes des communications d'aujourd'hui.
Entrevues, reportages, diction,
chroniques,
montage, animation,
numéro 1.
Présentateur de nouvelles,
pose de voix,
publicité,
création. Inscription et information. www.écolederadio.ca.
Le H2O Show avec Franco Huard.
So we are with Nicole DeBoer. So how are you doing today?
Hello, I'm wonderful. It's good to be here.
Good, good. So I was pretty happy to see you here because I think most of the invite are from Battlestar Galactica.
I know. There's no DS9 representing in the house, so I'm glad to do it.
Excellent. And one thing I have in mind I've been watching a lot of documentaries in the past talking about how stressful was filming at the DS9, not DS9, but in the Star Trek series. With Kate Mulgrew, she's saying like it was very stressful for her, it was difficult.
Did she say that? What did she say? Oh my.
Even for Patrick Stewart, it says like it was particular for him doing the TNG.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, how was your experience with the cast of DS9?
Well, you know, although it's sort of the biggest thing I've ever done, I've still been working since I was a teenager, so I've worked a lot. And I've been on a lot of series before Deep Space Nine, and I do have to say, I mean, all series are long hours, all of them. But it was pretty grueling at Paramount. It was, I only did 1 year, but that show had been going for 6 years, and the crew that worked on that show, I don't think saw their children grow up in those years. I mean, I made a lot of money in overtime. That was good. And I had no time to spend it. So that part was good. But it is very grueling and serious work. Although I hear the people on The Next Generation, they had more fun. They were more pranksters and stuff. But our set for Deep Space Nine was a little more serious because the show was darker and serious. Everything felt dark. Everything. But we still had our fun in there, you know. I had a great time and got a chance to work with wonderful actors. So I'm not going to complain about it, you know. It was hard, but...
I know you participate also in Dead Zone. So which series do you like the most to work on?
Well, it's hard to come. Well, for me, I'm a Canadian girl.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I love Canadian crews. I love to work on Canadian crews. I love our beautiful locations. You know, I've worked a lot in British Columbia, which was gorgeous. The last year of the Dead Zone shot in Montreal, which was a wonderful opportunity. I really enjoyed that. I love my crew on that year. But you know, Star Trek was important because it was the biggest thing. You know, it was Star Trek. It was Paramount Studios. I love driving up every day and waving at the guard, and I get to work on Paramount Studios. So they each have their own thing, you know. But I really like to work in Canada.
So how many series did you done in Canada or movies?
I think I had done like 5 before I got. I mean, I did this one called Deepwater Black and Mission Genesis, which was such a low budget, and it was pretty funny because I went from that to Star Trek, and another actor, Gordon Wolvett, went to Andromeda, and so it's pretty funny because our Canadian show was so low budget. And ones like Catwalk, and I was on CBC series and Beyond Reality, like a lot of stuff. And I'm very fortunate. And somehow I just ended up doing sci-fi. You know, it just so happened I became sci-fi girl.
Did you actually watch shows, sci-fi shows right now?
I did watch, I was a fan of The Next Generation.
Okay.
I used to watch that faithfully with my stepdad every week. And so I was pretty excited when I got Deep Space Nine. I was like, oh, I'm with Worf, you know? Yeah, it was cool.
Nice. And what you're working right now? So what is your latest project you're working?
Right now I'm not doing any series stuff. I'm sort of doing little guest parts on things. I'm a mom now, and I kind of enjoy not working 16 hours a day. It's something I would do again, maybe now, but I like to pick up little TV movies, Lifetime movies, and I did an episode of CBC's Cracked. I think that should be airing soon.
Okay.
Stuff like that right now, but maybe another series.
Nice. Well, thank you very much for your time. And we appreciate and invite everybody from Radio HUO to come to see at your booth.
Yes, please come by and say hi.
Yes, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm with Tim and Nash here for Rio H2O. So how are you doing today, sir?
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
How do you like Comic-Con?
It's been really good today. We've had a really good turnout.
Good. So far, I know you have a great career as a wrestler. So what's your plan right now for wrestling? Are you still doing like active wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, there's some months I do, some months I don't. I do a lot more personal appearances than I do wrestling, and then I've been working on. We got a couple of films in the works, so I'm getting old. I really don't have to work if I don't want to. So I spend a lot of time in my theater room.
Right. What kind of movies you're doing right now?
I've got a drama that's that I'm working on. I got a horror film that I'm working on, and I got another horror film that I'm working on. The drama will probably start next month in South Carolina. My part, I come in like midway through the script.
Okay.
And then I'll be shooting a horror film that kind of coincides with the dates that I'm off down in Louisiana. And then in March, I've got a confidentiality agreement where I can't say what it is, but I got a good project in March that's coming out. So,
do you like it more now to go to do movies instead of wrestling?
I'm just getting older, so I mean, I still love to wrestle. It's too hard on my body. I'd rather have some stunt guy do my work for me now.
All right, I'm not gonna keep you that long since you have people here. So thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
I appreciate it.
Deux entrevues extrêmement intéressantes avec Kevin Nash et Nicole de Boer. Et commençons avec Kevin Nash qui se concentre de plus en plus sa carrière comme acteur qu'au lieu de lutteur. Et la raison était très simple en fait, c'est que son corps n'est plus capable de suivre la cadence quand il fait ses mouvements de lutte et tout. Donc il a maintenant plusieurs projets sur la table, certains qu'il ne pouvait pas confirmer au micro, mais attendez-vous de le revoir très prochainement au grand écran. Et pour ce qui est de Nicole de Boer, une charmante demoiselle, une dame de cœur qui s'est joint en fait à la dernière minute au Comic-Con de l'édition 2013. Et durant toute la fin de semaine, j'ai parlé avec plusieurs personnes, plusieurs fans de Star Trek, parce que sur place, il y avait plein de gens qui étaient déguisés en uniforme de Star Trek. Et plusieurs m'ont dit que sa conférence qu'elle a donnée durant le week-end a été pour eux vraiment un coup de cœur. Donc bravo Nicole et merci beaucoup de nous avoir accordé ce temps, même si c'était à la dernière minute. Donc après la pause, on continue avec l'entrevue de Jason David Frank, un segment de la présentation de George Takei et la conclusion.
Cette semaine, sur les ondes de radio H2O,
le super matozoïde.
Je rêve de maquiller Marie-Mé.
Marie-Mé? Ah, oh, bon, OK.
Ah, je trouve assez qu'elle est belle, cette fille-là, là, à maquiller. Là, je me ferais tellement du fun dans sa face.
Moi aussi. OK, non, OK, c'est assez, je fais sûr.
En direct tous les jeudis soirs de 20h à 22h et en reprise du lundi au vendredi de 18h à 20h.
Radio H2O.ca. Ensemble, nous sommes la force.
Cancel tomorrow, don't need.
imaginez la vie sans radio. Le monde de la radio et de la télévision vous interpelle. Apprenez avec des professionnels toutes les facettes des communications d'aujourd'hui.
Entrevues, reportages, diction,
chroniques,
montage, animation,
numéro 1,
présentateur de nouvelles,
pose de voix,
publicité,
création, inscription et information. www.écolederadio.ca.
En direct de Montréal, vous écoutez
le H2O Show avec Franco Huard.
I have to say, I'm very big fan. When I was young, I couldn't admit to everybody, when even like the older guys were saying, oh, Power Rangers for kids. I was still loving it. I was still watching
it. I appreciate
it. And one thing, I have a daughter now, 7 years old, and she's watching your shows, and she's just loving it. Like the original one.
Yeah.
So I have to say, I really appreciate it from a true fan.
Thank you, man.
And I'm appreciating like what you're doing for the fans.
Yeah.
What you can tell about the fans from Montreal?
It's great to be in Montreal. I would like to say I have a little girl who's 9 who watches Power Rangers too. I am doing the new season next year called Super Mega Force on Nickelodeon. I have a few returns and I'm returning back as the Green Ranger on that show. Working on a Green Ranger movie with Saban Entertainment, more of a Dark Knight, Batman-ish type of movie. I love the fans of Montreal. I mean, I just got back from Brazil, flew to another country, and what better place to go to except Montreal? And it's a beautiful, beautiful city and great fans. It's just good to know that Power Rangers was pretty much all over the world. You know, I went to Brazil and got slammed in Brazil, and it's just exciting. It's exciting to see the fans, not just in the United States, but pretty much all around the world.
So you've been doing Power Rangers for a couple of years now. Do you have any other plans apart of Power Rangers?
I'm doing a reality show this year called It's My Morphin Life. So we shot about 6 episodes. I'm doing a non-Power Ranger action film on the end of the year. Probably reach out to about 30 different cons, reaching out to the fans pretty much around the world. And just been on a world tour, building up my fan base, and promoting myself. And it's been great. I'm on tour with a lot of big guys now. And it's just great to see the Power Rangers hold its value. I think the Green Ranger is kind of like the X-Men of the Power Rangers.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, I could venture in my own little movies and stuff like that. So I'm pretty excited about it.
It's very interesting you're talking about that, because yesterday we got upstairs and we saw the 50 years of X-Men.
Yeah.
And they're like, you actually see like there's some core like characters are still coming back years after years.
Yep.
And it looks like the Green Ranger is one of them.
Yeah, it's the world icon. For some reason, the Green Ranger, I've been 5 different Rangers, so you could like the white, that's me. You could like the red, that's me. Black is me, it don't matter. But the Green Ranger's become some world icon, you know, at Hot Topics and, you know, everywhere we go in the States, we just see the Green Ranger, Green Ranger, Green Ranger. And then the White Ranger's becoming popular. The 20th year anniversary, I go back and I lead the whole crew into Omega War, and he's still, you know, the leader, and thank God I can still fit in spandex and I'm still in shape, so it definitely feels good 20 years later to jump back into spandex.
Last question for you, what kind of martial arts you've been using, like you've been doing for those many years?
I'm a 7th degree black belt in regular martial arts karate. I've been studying for 36 years. I'm also a Muay Thai master under Master Tati in the Thailand government. So I hold under the Thailand government something called Arjan, which means master, and I love it. You know, Thailand people, they accept me, and that's a big thing to be accepted in Thailand, you know. So my base art right now is Muay Thai, but I also do the MMA, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and all that stuff.
Excellent. So, thank you very much, Adrian. We appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much, man.
Is that you reproduce yourselves like triplets. Because now we have the children of the original fans, and also the children of the original fans, 3 generations and sometimes 4 generations of Star Trek fans, all coming from the same family. So I love you original fans, and I love you the next generation fans, and I love you the 3rd generation fans, and keep on multiplying as you are. And because of the kind of support that you've given me, I've been able to so many things that I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. I've been able to have access to the microphones of newscasters, the cameras of the television people, and editorial pages of a lot of the newspapers of both our countries. And because of that, I've been able to be much more effective as a social values activist. And you gave me this. And I thank you for giving me that, because I've been able to do things that I would have been doing anyway, but without the opportunity to reach as many people and as many issues on such a great issue of massive scale as I've been able to. And in many ways, I have to thank all of you in Canada, because Canada has been leading the way in equality for gays, lesbians, deserve that applause, because you have been at the leadership and America is following in your footsteps. The U.S. is still behind. We're making progress, and we're proud of the progress we're making. But we have marriage equality now in 13 states and our national capital, Washington, D.C. That's one third of the country, and we're very proud of that victory. However, two-thirds of the country doesn't have marriage equality. Each state gets to determine whether they pass a law or their judiciary rules that marriage equality is the rule of the state. And so our mission as U.S. citizens is to make sure that the whole country ultimately becomes an equality nation. Because when I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, I pledge allegiance to the words, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And we intend to make that pledge to the flag genuine, true, and in fact, for all Americans. Frontiers that we still have to go to. We've met many frontiers in space and galaxies, but we have frontiers in our own country, and we thank you for showing us the way. Now, for the fun part of all this is the dialogue. So, where are the people that are gathered with the mic? You're all pointing there. There, I see somebody in the light. Hello.
Hello,
Gary. Ah, almost ready to say that I'm not. She has lived in Japan for quite some time. 7 years, was it? 5 years.
Six years.
Are you going to reach seven? And she speaks Japanese. It's question.
Well,
yeah, a little bit more than that. She says she's very, very nervous right now. Oh, I'm becoming a translator.
Alright, well, I don't know if I told you this, but I think of Star Trek as my babysitter, because my grandfather had a job. He had an hour before dinner to look after me. He turned on Star Trek and fell asleep. So, he took care of me while he was saving me.
You were brought up well.
Was Japanese, kind of, but I was always confused by Sulu, and Sulu is not Japanese. name. So when I found out you were coming, I Googled it, and Wikipedia told me that Gene Roddenberry didn't want a nationally specific name for pseudo, so he named after the CDC. But in Japanese, there are rebels. So your name is Tsuru, which is the regular verb for to do.
No, not to do. To do.
So I was wondering if you ever thought about this and if you ever brought it up to Gene or if you just let it slide.
No, I did ask Gene Roddenberry about that. Yeah. How did you come up with the name Sulu? Or, you know, he told me that the Starship Enterprise was a metaphor for Starship Earth. And the strength of these starships lay in its diversity, coming together and working in concert as a team. To be able to see a common challenge from this person's experiential angle, this person's cultural background, this person's unique inborn talent, and by all of that diversity coming together and working in concert, will be able to prevail and go on to face new challenges. And so he wanted the ship to reflect that diversity of this planet. And so the captain was to reflect North America. And he cast not only a Canadian, but a Canadian from right here in Montreal. For communications officer, he chose an African, a dark person. He wasn't necessarily thinking of a woman, because in the pilot film, we had a male African-American playing that part. But when the series got started, he chose Nichelle Nichols to be the African representative and the chief communications officer. Europe was to be represented by a Scotsman, because Scotsmen are famous as engineers. And here again, a Canadian played that Scotsman. However, he was not Scottish-Canadian. He was Irish-Canadian from Vancouver, the other side of the country. But Jimmy Dewan told me, I've drunk enough of the libation of Scotland to qualify. Jimmy was my favorite drinking buddy, and I've learned a lot from him. And he wanted an Asian character, someone to represent Asia. But every Asian name, as you said, is nationally specific. Tanaka is Japanese. Wong is Chinese, Kim is Korean, Salonga is Filipino, and mid-20th century Asia has a turbulent history of warfare, colonization, rebellion, and he didn't want to bring that element in by getting a nationally specific surname. So his problem was to try to find a name that suggested all Asia, a pan-Asian name. And he picked up a map of Asia on his office wall, and he was staring at it. And he saw that off the coast of the Philippines, there's a Sulu Sea. And he thought, ah, the waters of the sea touch all shores. And so that's how the Asian character came to have the name Sulu, the surging Sulu. But when he cast the role, he cast a Japanese American. And so he gave him a Japanese first name because my cousins are biracial. Their mother is my mother's younger sister, and their father is of English ancestry in Canada. And they all have Japanese middle names. So he thought, you know, by that time, by the 23rd century, we would be a multicultural, multiracial, multinational, and he gave the name Hikaru, which is the name of the hero in the classic Japanese novel, Tales of Kenshin. Right. You've done your work. So that's Well, thank you for bringing that point up. I think it makes a very strong point about Gene Roddenberry's attention to details. He had a philosophy, and he wanted that philosophy to permeate all through the series. The Enterprise as a metaphor for Earth, Earth's diversity being its strength. And as you know, we have that acronym, IDIC, Infinite Diversity and Infinite Combination. I mean, those were all Gene Roddenberry's ideas. And he certainly, I think that's why Star Trek has lasted so long and relates to every generation, no matter how the world changes. The world changes, but just take changes in taking on different colorations. We still have a horrific war going on in the Middle East. And now it seems like the Cold War is starting up again with Putin in power. And it's horrific. You know, the reason the Olympics is so important is because we need to learn from history. In 1936, the International Olympics Committee granted the Summer Olympics to Germany in Berlin. 3 years before that, I thought somebody was cutting me off because I tend to ramble. 3 years before the Olympics, Hitler came to power, and he had what seems to me seems to be an innocuous law in the context of what happened in Germany afterwards. He passed a law saying Jewish professors are not eligible for tenure. And then the Olympics happened, and he had that international stage on which to raise his status and add to his power in Germany. And you know what happened after that. I mean, the horrors began. And Putin right now, Putin is a dictator. And yet the economy isn't working for him. There's high unemployment, especially amongst young people. And he needs a scapegoat to get the young people's attention away from their own misery. And that's why he passed this seemingly innocuous law, saying that anything that advocates untraditional sexual relations is harmful to children. So, you know, if an Olympic athlete, a gay athlete wins, and his boyfriend comes up and gives him an embrace, that's criminal. And he can be arrested, and if he's a Russian, he would be put into jail for 2 weeks and fined heavily. If he's a foreigner, he would be tried and deported. It's an outrageous thing, but what that's done is given license to the hoodlums and thugs to assault anyone they perceive to be gay or lesbian. And so the horrors are starting to begin for the LGBT community in Russia. We have to learn from history. We must not let Putin get that same international stage where he can increase his stature amongst his people in Russia. And forgive me, I rambled off from your initial comment.
Hello, George.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. You are a proud member of the Howard Stern Show. I would like to know how you feel about Howard and the show itself.
Howard and the show itself?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I really didn't know Howard Stern from Adam when I first did this show. I was doing a play in New York, and when you're doing a play, you're given your assignment from the publicist to you know, do the radio shows and television shows to promote the play. And that particular morning, I had an address on Madison Avenue, and
I went there and they asked me to wait in the waiting room, and I was sitting there flipping through the magazines, and they had a radio on there. It was the most disgusting conversation I'd ever heard. And so I said to the other guy who was waiting, I said, why can't they get some nice music? You know, this conversation is very unpleasant. And he said, that's the show we're waiting to go on. I thought, oh, God. Ushered me into the radio studio, and here's a skinny, tall, wild-haired guy, and I walked in, and I sat down with the mic in front of me, and I said, good morning, and he said, oh, you have a deep voice. Anyone with a voice that deep has to have a big dog. He loves your voice. I said, are we on the air? And he said, yep. And I said, oh my. And that's how my relationship with Howard began, to promote a play. But then over the years, he would invite me in occasionally, or I'd be promoting something else. My autobiography was coming out, so I would visit him. And finally, in 2005, or maybe it was 2006, I got a call from his producer, Gary Delabate. Baba Booey. And, you know, they've been pranking me by going on. And I'm very gullible, and I get sucked into it. And when he called and said, Gary Delabate calling from the Howard Stern Show, don't hang up. And because he thought, I would think I was being pranked again. And I said, no, you're Gary Delabate, I'll hear you out. And then he said, we are considering having you as our official announcer for the show. I said, I'm going to hang up. I said, don't. And I said, well, you know, why are you calling me directly? I have an agent. And you should phone him. And I'm not going to discuss that right now over the phone. And I hung up. And then I immediately called my agent and I said, there's a guy disguised as Gary Delabate. He may call you. I told him to call you. And sure enough, he did. And that's how my official title, being an announcer of the show, came about. You're a really great official. Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming, everyone. Take care.
Pour ce dernier segment de l'émission, on a entendu Jason David Frank, le Green Power Rangers, et George Takei en conférence. Donc, ceci conclut notre édition spéciale pour le H2O Show, pour sa couverture du Comic-Con 2013 à Montréal. Et oui, je le sais, on aurait pu en rajouter, on aurait pu mettre d'autres entrevues, mais malheureusement, c'était tout le temps qu'on avait. Donc, un gros merci spécialement à Giovanni Moscato, qui a été mon bras droit pour tout ce week-end-là. J'en remercie aussi l'organisation de l'événement, dont Sébastien Minot et Liam Murphy, pour nous avoir reçus d'une manière incroyable. Pour plus d'informations, je vous invite à aller voir leur site web, le www.montrealcomiccon.com. En mon nom, je vous dis à la semaine prochaine pour une autre émission du H2O Show. Ciao!
Your Jedi mind tricks do not work on me.
Ensemble, nous sommes la force.
Funny money. No buts, no money, no deal.
Hey, my name is Ray Park. I play Darth Maul in The Phantom Menace and Snake Eyes in G.I. Joe Retaliation. You're listening to H2O Radio. May the force be with you and beware of the dark side.
Cette émission est une production originale de Radio H2O.ca.
Ensemble, nous sommes la force.